Andy Rossi, can you give me your very best Howl at the Moon impression?
How?
We've got basketball body hair and a werewolf themed dance. It's the evolution of movies, and it's gonna be a good one.
From real to strange to silver screens, from 1980 to today and in between. They talking best of the best, bring out their favorite guests. Movies from every year, they breaking them down when they pop on the net. Start from the beginning, and every week they get into it. Jack and Andy, Shaq Hope, Cisco and his old homie. Grab your phone and get ready, turn it up like the music. Evolution of movies, evolution of movies.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, his name is Andy Rossi, and this is the Evolution of Movies, where we're going to chat all about Teen Wolf. Andy Rossi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. For a second, I thought you were going to say we're going to talk about Teen Wolf 2. I was going to say, oh, shoot, did I watch the wrong movie?
Well, even with Teen Wolf, there's a couple of different options. So hopefully all of our listeners and viewers watched the right one.
That's a good point.
But if you're new to the show, let me tell you how this show works. It's the evolution of movies. And what we do is we watch a movie and then we chat about it like this is some kind of book club. But we call it the evolution of movies because we always pick a movie that came out 1 year after the last movie we talked about. So we went back 40 years, starting this season in 1983. Then we're going 1984, 1985. And now we're still in 1985. We're not evolved very far. Yeah. We're still in the very early processes. But 85 was a pretty cool time in theaters. We had hits like The Goonies. We had St. Elmo's Fire. And of course, Missing in Action Part 2, The Beginning. But we aren't talking about those. We're talking about Teen Wolf, a movie IMDb describes as an ordinary high school student discovers that his family has an unusual pedigree when he finds himself turning into a werewolf. Andy, this I had never seen this one before, really? So I was excited to get to it. Any thoughts before we bring on our guest?
I just want to bring on our guest because he's a lovely, lovely human being.
Well, this is one of our favorite people, one of our most popular guests from last season, reviewing Kroll last time around. So glad to bring him on for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the uproariously funny Dax Jordan. Dax, number one grandson.
Wow. Yeah.
Rawr. That's me. What's the metric for one of the most popular guests from the Kroll episode? How do we measure?
You were
that?
The most popular during the Kroll episode.
There are spreadsheets that are used there with lots of algorithms and formulas. Chatbot has helped use AI to provide
nice.
It.
Nice. We call a random sample of Americans to.
We do. We go door to door
on favorite guests. Okay.
Dax, there is a cork board with lots of yarn and push pins in it that are connecting dots that lead to you.
And cork is an endangered tree, so you're putting it to good use.
Right. Well, we're putting it to use. Thank you so much for coming back on. For people who didn't see you the first time around, though, you're a stand-up comedian.
Yes, at times. Who has time to do that? You're trying to make a rent in L.A.? Like, who has time to just tell jokes? But when I'm doing it, I'm doing it.
Yeah, I mean, in L.A. here, to afford rent, you got to be selling blood, selling other bodily fluids, selling feet pics. You got your OnlyFans. It's the only way to get by in Los Angeles.
Like other bodily fluids.
Yeah. When you said feet pics, I was thinking like some kind of like chiseling away corns. I was thinking of pick for your feet for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's what I meant.
That's what he meant, yeah.
Feet? Yeah.
Well, someone who did not have any corns on their feet was our fella Teen Wolf. And this was a movie that is a bit of a classic.
Are you sure?
I hadn't seen it before, as I said to Andy at the beginning, but everyone knows this movie. So I was really excited to get into it. Dax, had you seen this movie before? And what were your thoughts going into it this time around?
Well, yeah, I'm old. I've seen this one before. It was great to revisit it, you know, a little chunk of like 80s out of nowhere history. and honestly, I forgot how bad the movie was, but how good Michael J. Fox is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like total imbalance.
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously an Oscar quality actor shoved into this $4 million, probably shot in a week.
I was going to say, just like Kroll with Liam Neeson.
Yes, absolutely. You're seeing the stars of the future with a wet blanket over them.
I was watching it about halfway through. I was thinking, wait, this is a bad movie. This is just dumb. And then I had to go Google, did this come out before Back to the Future? Because I don't know how this worked out. And I think Michael J. Fox is very lucky. This didn't tank him in a lot of ways.
It came out the same year, right? Back to the Future and Teen Wolf.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. Okay. So it's
heck of a year.
They just were like, oh, also that one. Fine.
Yeah. What a weird combo of movies to start a career off with. But let's start with the first game of the show. This is the Rotten Tomatoes bit. Andy.
Yeah.
What do you think Rotten Tomatoes has Teen Wolf sitting at?
Well, I was thinking a little higher than you guys probably think, just because that's what I was originally going to say. But considering you both said it was such a stinker, I'm going to lower my number in my head here. 1985, it was very much a movie in 1985, that's for sure. But Michael J. Fox was in it. So I feel like critics had to like that. He was, you know, doing Family Ties. I don't know if this came out before or after Back to the Future, so I don't know what you know, they were thinking as far as Michael J. Fox's film career. I'm going to go, it's pretty low. It's got to be pretty low, but I'm going to go not crazy low. I'll go 40 right on the dot, 40% Teen Wolf.
40%, that is one of the lower guesses.
Pretty low. It's pretty low.
That's a rough one, yeah.
But do you think this is where, and we're keeping track this time around, Dax,
okay.
Do you think that the actual score is higher or lower than 40%?
I think it's higher. I think for the time, people thought it was a good movie. I think upon later view, the taste changing. I think in the 80s, when everyone's coked out enough to think this is, or their brains are addled from whatever sugar substitutes chemistry had just come up with. I'm going to say they thought this was like a 65%.
Wow.
Okay, movie.
Big swing.
I love that. I love that the chemistry infused highs that these people are on gets them to the mid 60s.
Yeah, not quite.
I think they were
70s.
Just sitting back looking to have a good time, you know?
If the movie's a little bit better, they'll think it's terrible. The Rotten Tomatoes has it sitting at 42%.
Ooh. Wow.
So, Dax, you get the win, but Andy, wildly close on this one. Whew. Again, I hadn't seen this movie before, so I usually pull this stuff up before I watch the movie. I was like, 42, that's so low. Isn't this a part of American culture? Isn't this what
it is? Like, it planted the seed.
The foundation of cinema? And
42, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dax talks about planting a seed. This is one that definitely should be buried, but we'll talk about it. For everyone who's watching or listening, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe. Leave a little comment below with what you thought of the movie as well. And of course, if you can share the link on social media, that's always super helpful as well. Helps us get rich and famous. So we can become influencers.
And also tell us if you think people are better or worse at judging the quality of a film than they were when this came out.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting question. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, this was a very interesting journey to watch for the first time, let me tell you. Let's get into it.
Wait, real quick. How have you not seen this movie before? I feel like it just had to have been on TV, USA Network. Something had to have been. I guess you just changed the channel.
Yeah, I just never saw it. It wasn't like I didn't go out of my way to not watch it. It's just one of those ones that slipped through the cracks. And like I said, it was halfway through the movie, like someone hit me in the face with a pillow. I was like, wait a minute.
This is a real movie?
This is terrible.
There are so many bad decisions being made and things that don't make sense and relationships that are like, wait, what?
And then they made a sequel.
I mean, when a movie makes
and multiple spinoffs,
10 yeah. times its budget, a sequel yeah. is coming.
Michael J. Fox is like, I'm out.
Yeah. He was only in it, like, he only had time to film it because I was reading Meredith Baxter Burney got pregnant and it delayed the filming of Family Ties for that season. And so they're like, all right, I got an extra 2 weeks. What are we going to do?
You got this Wolf script.
Yeah. Eric Stoltz passed. What do I?
That works out.
That'd be pretty funny if Stoltz actually was like, I'm not going to. And then I'll take it.
Well, it starts off and Scott's basketball team is getting scorched in a quiet and empty gym before heading back to the locker room where Scott bullies a fat kid and rips out his chest hair. Scott wants to quit the team because he's sick of being average and wants his life to change when suddenly he can't stand the sound of a dog whistle being blown at his dad's hardware store. Dax, I start every show with the first question. Tell us, not really a question, it's more of a demand. Tell us about the characters of this movie and the world that they live in.
Michael J. Fox, he inhabits this character that seems like he should know better. I don't know. This kid was like a dick.
Yeah.
And why? Why was he such a dick? He thinks he's so average. Your dad owns the town's hardware store.
Yeah.
That makes you like one of the coolest, handiest people in town. Like everyone should be hanging out at your house, looking at all the cool stuff that you build and like coming by the hardware store. Wow. What does this do? Like that's already wrong. Totally wrong.
Right.
Yeah, his dad is great though. Is perfect casting, and I wanted to work for him. I wanted to work at that hardware store. To be honest, that's the average life I would have liked. Mind you, my parents owned a Radio Shack when I was in high school, so I did kind of live that life.
You were the coolest person in town because you were the son of the guy that owns the Radio Shack.
You could hook people up with Walkmans,
pretty much. Yeah, remote control
cars.
Mans. CB radios.
So this movie, by the way, I'll probably say this throughout, the side characters were my favorite part of this movie. So many good side characters. Andy, talk to me about Styles.
Oh, my favorite. My favorite character, probably top 10 of all time, at least 80s characters. When I was in college,
soaked in it.
My friends and I would always do like, Styles, like, you know, if we had like a party at our apartment or dorm room, or whatever, we'd always try to be very Styles. Like, all right, who's up next? Who's going to drink this beer? He's just a great leader and he's a great friend. We'll get to it later, but he's very accepting of everything Scott's doing. So Styles to me, I mean, Michael J. Fox is great, but Styles is excellent.
Go ahead, Dax.
I just say, from the comedy standpoint, The Teen Wolf 2 just could have been about Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He in Teen Wolf 2?
He should be.
I believe so.
Wouldn't it be great if I was like, oh, yeah, I know Teen Wolf 2 really well. I've seen it a bunch of times.
Like, yeah, Jason Bateman. He's great.
Yeah. I didn't know Michael Jason J. Bateman Fox wasn't yet. In this one. What the
yeah. Michael J. Fox.
I like that the point you made, Dax, about Scott's character was way too smart to be as dumb as he was because he did act like an adult half the movie, very, very mature in how he handled a lot of things.
Yeah.
But
also very sweaty.
Oh, that opening scene. I was like, he's a danger. You need to mop the floor up before you keep playing that game.
And, and more
closing
thing.
Basketball segments were just like, they were just, all right, hold.
The basketballs is just, I think probably the worst of any movie I've ever seen. Like, we'll get to a lot of the basketball stuff, but not great. I wanted to mention one other side character. Is her name Boof?
Boof. B-O-O-F.
Okay. Is that a name?
Right.
It is today. I'll tell you my favorite side character. He did not get enough time. I want to watch a movie about this guy, and that's the coach. I love the coach. I love how after the game, he's in his office and he tells Scott, come to me if you ever have a problem. He's like, well, I have a problem. He's like, well, I'm kind of busy right now. And then later he tells the story about like, listen, there was a guy just like you, same problem. He came to me wanting to quit, but he was poor and he had to take care of his family and get a job. He had it way rougher than you. And Scott's like, well, what happened to him? He goes, I don't know. He quit. He was a third stringer. Didn't need him.
His 3 points are great later, though.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that actor went home and wrote like a 10-page character Bible when he first got this. Maybe he thought it was a serious movie.
Yes. He also looks so 80s. Like, there's just a look that people had in the 80s, and he was just quintessential 80s, that character. But
it is interesting for like an 80s movie. A lot of times you go back and you're like, oh, there's that person, they turned out to be this. Oh, there's that person, then they were in this series. Oh, there's that person, they were in this movie. This movie, I felt like I never saw any of these people ever again.
This was career poison for most of these people.
Yeah. What I do like about this movie, though, what it did well, is I like how they jumped right into it. Like, he's a wolf right at the beginning. He's turned into a werewolf. They don't do this long. This is what he was. Now he's bit. Now they're dragging it on. They're just like, yeah, this is a guy, and he's turning into a wolf.
Let's just do it for no reason.
It's puberty. It's a puberty wolf thing.
Puberty wolf.
Right.
When obviously he's undergone puberty a long time ago. It's like, this seems like this should have happened when he was 13.
Right.
If that was the case.
Right.
And that, we'll get to it.
So this movie continues on, and back at the school, Scott is stumbling and dropping things at the play rehearsal when his hands get all hairy in front of Pamela. Scott asks Pamela to the party, but her super cool jock boyfriend shows up. Scott talks to his dad before Styles picks Scott up for the party, and Scott uses his deep, sexy voice and light up eyes to buy some beer. To celebrate, Styles surfs on the van.
Yeah.
Andy, did you ever have issues with hairy palms when you were in high school?
Probably. Look at these eyebrows. What do you think?
Have you ever tried surfing on a van?
I think I have, yeah, and didn't go just like this. You know what? Not on a van, on a, like a pickup truck, in like the back of a pickup truck, like, but going like 2 miles per hour, and then I fell. So Styles, balance, I mean, that van's going at least 35, 40, and he's just balancing, surfing USA.
Wearing
he's just lucky,
sunglasses.
Like, yeah. He's just lucky he's just such a cool dude.
They never really talk about it, but Styles has to be on some kind of drugs, right? Like, to be that energetic and amped.
Well, he even says about the rash. He's like, I think I have a rash. He goes, why, you want to catch something? Like almost like Styles wants all the stuff. He wants anything involved with dirty party atmosphere. He's it.
Yeah, Dax, I feel like the story of Styles, if he was a real person, does not have a happy end.
Well, all right, so we're dropped into this universe where werewolves are obviously a thing and accepted in this world. So, you know, I'm sure in the TV series version of this, there's a whole universe of creatures. I don't know. I haven't watched it, but I'm just going to assume Styles is some kind of otherworldly creature as well.
Ooh.
We just haven't learned it yet. He's like the trickster, you know? And he's got the energy and the ideas, and he's probably 100 years old and just inhabits this body to just wreak havoc upon human teenagers.
And you know what? It's like he's really only around at night. Maybe he's a vampire.
Exactly. Yeah, he's a dweller along the dark path.
probably
lives in a giant oak tree in the forest, and nobody's ever seen him at home, right?
Right. And you notice he never looks in a mirror once.
Yeah, absolutely.
How great are his shirts, though?
They're all great.
He says, what's the one about the dick nose? What are you looking at, dick nose?
Okay, listen. In the 80s, you could not wear that to school. Later 100%. On, when The Simpsons came out, I was not allowed to wear a Bart Simpsons t-shirt because it said, like, eat my shorts.
Yeah.
At a public school, like, there's no way he's allowed to wear a dick nose t-shirt.
Yeah, so that's why this movie's not believable.
He's a mythologically significant character who exerts some kind of mind control influence.
That's the only explanation.
You know, the more you say it, though, Dax, the more it makes sense. I think he's some sort of other realm dweller, as you say, a dweller.
We never know what was in the original script and influenced all of his lines and activities, but had to be cut for budgetary purposes. But all the influences are still there.
I want to see those deleted scenes.
Yeah.
I want to
read the original script.
Yeah.
Another character that I loved a lot was the drama teacher play actor. I love how he just enunciated everything so clearly, and everything he said was so dramatic. Like you would imagine a drama teacher being, he's like, "What are you doing on the stage?" Like, I can't do it, but that's why I'm not an actor. But like, he was always very, like, it felt like he was being dramatic about everything, and he enunciated really well. Just another, like, in the best funny kind of way, stupid character that I would have loved to have seen interact. I would have loved to see him and the coach interact.
Oh yeah,
and have some
Let's see them in the teacher's lounge for sure.
Yeah, Andy, this feels like it's up your alley here. The jock boyfriend. I actually don't even know what his name is. I think Mick.
Is it Mick?
Like Mick Jagger?
It's Mick. Yeah.
Mick. Yeah.
Mick. I don't feel like he did anything wrong.
I'm so confused of this Mick character. Like, does he go to the same school or he doesn't?
No.
Okay.
Because I was they're the Dragons. It's the other high school.
Yeah, because I thought they were went to the same high school, but they were on different basketball teams. I was like, oh, I'm so confused. And I want to just preface this later when they get in a little tussle. He's not too upset that Teen Wolf rips his clothing off. He's just like, oh,
I mean,
look at my amazing body.
Here's the thing. Anyone who's played sports, you talk trash when you're playing sports. That's fine. You're not a villain for that. And then, Teen Wolf's asking his girlfriend to a party. Of course he's going to be like, get out of here, loser. Like, I don't think he did anything wrong in this movie. Well, at least up to this point. We'll talk. I can't remember. I got to look at my notes for the later part.
The whole concept of girlfriend and boyfriend is thrown entirely out the window in this movie.
Yeah.
That is very true.
For those things must be very different in Beacon Town. So I don't. That's where they lost me. I'm like, what is it? What are you guys? What is everybody to everybody?
Right. Yeah, that was very confusing. Yeah.
How do you all know each other? They get to the party, and at the party, we have a weird naked tie-up escape on the floor. The game turns to Boof, and she lies about whose name she drew and says Scott's name before making out in the closet. Scott scratches Boof before going home and finally being full werewolf, just like his dad.
Yes.
Dax, my favorite part of the movie where I out loud cackled was when he opened the door and the dad was a werewolf.
So good.
I had no idea this was coming. I had no idea that was the premise.
Yep.
I lost my mind.
I love that you didn't know that.
Why didn't that was the movie, Dax? Why wasn't it about the dad being a werewolf? It cracked me up. I love this.
Why wasn't it called Werewolf in Khakis? That's what you're wondering.
Yes.
Dad Wolf.
Yeah. And I remember as a kid, like that reveal, the door opens and he's just standing there, lumpy dad. With big gray face. And like, I love that the reveal was so droll. It was played very just like, well, here we go.
Now you know.
A very NPR like, kind of like, all right.
And he's like talking to his son too. I can't remember what he's saying exactly. He's like walking down the stairs and stopping and turning back, like, "You okay? All right then. See you later."
How does he not preface this? Like, be like, "Hey, son. You know, when you're a little older, there's a chance that it's a crazy thing. I don't think you're going to believe what I'm about to say, but you might be a werewolf." Like, a little heads up might have been nice.
Right. I hoped it would skip a generation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does.
That's all he said.
Meaning there's a bunch in our family over the years, like, share this story.
Yeah. It was never really, like, discussed. Like, he didn't, like, say, like, "Oh, yeah, by the way, your Uncle Bill... also werewolf. Your Aunt Betty, not a werewolf." So we didn't know. But not a lot of backstory.
You think it would have come up at some point, but that was My absolute favorite moment in the film, right there. I wish this movie was about the dad and the coach and the drama teacher. They were my favorites. But Andy, I got to go to you here for this party.
Great 80s party.
Great 80s party.
Crowded kegs. Too many kegs.
How good were you at the naked escape tie-up on the floor game?
There was like whipped cream involved?
Yeah.
I was confused at what was happening there. So they were handcuffed, and then what was the point?
They were back to back, though, like butt to butt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Behind their backs, wriggling.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was. I honestly don't know. What was that supposed to – was that supposed to be something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
the first one to wriggle out of all their clothes wins.
I definitely like went to parties where they would do like go in the closet or go with spin the bottle, and I was always too scared, so I would go in the closet and just have conversations about the White Sox. Heck of a team this year, huh? Don't you think? Yeah. When we go out to say I did stuff.
Yeah,
and then they walk out. Andy jerked off on me
to the White Sox. What a weirdo!
Oh my God.
But you still do it to this day.
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah, it was weird. So Boof lies, and she makes out with Scott. And I think like, oh, so they're going to be the couple. He scratches her, but she's not even that put off by it. It was a very weird scenario. Dax,
she slaps him.
She slaps
right?
him.
It's so aggressive. Ow. Ooh, ow, stop it. And then he doesn't, and she slaps this guy who's been her friend forever that she's attracted to. Who all this, like, it should have been way weirder after that.
Yeah, never. They so never discussed worse. It again, by the way. They're still friends after that. It's just.
Yeah.
We made out. You lied to make out with me. We made out. I turned into a creature and scratched you. You slapped me, but we're good.
Not since the character named Boner in Growing Pains have I been more confused at a name that never gets discussed.
Wait, the Brett Kavanaugh hearings, you didn't learn about boofing? That was a real thing that came up during
Kavanaugh. Explain it for our listeners, Dan.
Slowly.
Well, he used the term, like, I boofed it. But he used it as, like, I messed up or something.
Oh.
But boofing is actually amongst like frat guys, like drinking things through your ass.
So it kind of takes my point even more.
So that should explain it, Andy.
No one mentions
that's why they call her Boof.
Oh, she was good at that.
And that's how he got canceled. The so that happens. That scene happens. We have the party. Later, Scott's dad has the old werewolf talk with his son before Scott heads to school, and people are already noticing changes, and he's having trouble ignoring the wolf inside of him. Scott tells Stiles he's a wolf, and Stiles wants to use these powers for his own schemes.
Yep.
At the next basketball game, Scott becomes a great basketball player because dogs are good at basketball, right? And he leads them to victory. Now he's popular and Pamela wants him. The games sell out and Teen Wolf becomes a celebrity. He forgets his friends and hot dogs on the court while rehearsing for the play. Pamela takes her bra off and Andy, walk us through this scene.
Of course. Oh my gosh. What would be the kids' reaction, like the other classmates, if Teen Wolf was a terrible basketball player? I was like thinking that. I'm like, what if he stinks? Then do they just hate him?
Andy, what if he's great? He's a wolf. He dunks the ball. Like, oh, I accept him. No, you just turned into a weird creature in front of my eyes. This is not normal. Like, it doesn't matter if he scored a million points. I'd be like, dude, this is a weird thing.
Well, and what a great friend Stiles is. I probably talk about Stiles a little too much because he's so amazing. But it's like, Jack, if you were to tell me like you're a werewolf, I love you, man. But I would probably it would take me a while to like be like, wait, what? So how, wait, and your dad is one too? Like, it would take me a while to kind of figure it out and to understand. Styles is like, yeah, sounds great. Yeah, cool, man. That's awesome. And like, what a great friend.
He actually is. He is wildly quick to catch on, much like the people watching the basketball game. just goes, oh, he's a werewolf. They don't actually touch on, are werewolves known in that world? Is that why he's accepted that way? Or
I have no idea. That's why I said, I think they just accept him because he's really good at basketball. But the even funnier part about it, in my opinion, is there's one scene where he's supposed to be, it's obviously not Michael J. Fox playing basketball. It's, you know, some stunt double, but they have this one part where he dribbles like 9 times in a row just with his left hand. Yes. And everybody's like, whoa.
I'm like, yeah.
So he's like, oh, he's like junior college level. It's not like amazing.
Well, it's not even, he's not even dribbling, like, because he's dribbling the ball really high too. It's not like he's dribbling really low and like a good basketball player. He's just dribbling the ball with his other hand and people are impressed by it.
Yeah. And the music, we got to talk about that during like the time when he's just starting to just kick ass as Teen Wolf. The music is awful. I don't know where they got these songs from, but man, like Back to the Future came out in the same year and had amazing tracks. Huey Lewis was slinging jams during that movie. This one's just got these like lame songs. I don't know. He deserved better.
I was going to say this. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to mention the soundtrack. It sounded like, and maybe this is because it's an older movie, but the whole soundtrack, whether it be at the party or like the school dance later or whatever, it felt like an old guy picked the music for what he thinks young people would like.
Totally.
Because none of it felt cool and young or like people would really want to dance to. It was all like the song during the prom later is like some like country rock song kind of thing. And I don't know. It was terrible. But Dax, I want to throw you a hot
I need to go
one.
Practice my wolf dance.
Yes. Well, we're going to have you do it in just a little bit. I need to ask you this because this bothered me way more than it probably should have. If he's a werewolf, why did he look like a primate? He didn't look like a wolf to me at all. He looked like a caveman.
It was way too primate-y for you. Australopithecus afarensis. Yeah.
That was the word I used. Yeah, I might know.
Yeah. Not as lycanthropic as you're used to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe that was a creative choice by the makeup team to look different than previous werewolves you've seen, perhaps, and distance themselves from.
Are werewolves known to be good bowlers and get straight A's? Like, is that a thing?
Canonically, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
As long as that checks out.
If you watch Underworld,
and break dancing.
If you watch Underworld, that's one of the Lycan's biggest weapons is their bowling.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, basketball is not even in their top 10 skills, but they're just so good at so many things.
It just becomes exhausting listing all of their talents that fit into high school.
That's Teen Wolf 2. Jason Bateman's a hell of a bowler.
So this is where one of my favorite lines of the movie comes in. It's from the coach, and Andy, maybe this was what you were going to say, but all the basketball players are upset because Teen Wolf is the only one playing and getting them to win. And the coach says, it's not how you play. It's whether you win or lose. And even that doesn't really matter.
That's right. Oh my God.
I want that printed and hanging above my door so I could see it every day before I leave.
Got a point.
I love a coach in high school that's like, look, in the long run, none of this matters at all.
No one cares.
It's just what a philosophically deep, lost soul.
I would say, to play devil's advocate against that, though, I think they're going to remember a wolf man playing basketball.
Yeah. But to the point, they're going to remember the wolf more than they remember the score.
Yeah.
Yep.
The primate that they played with.
Honestly, they're going to remember that they survived and didn't die at the hands of this man animal who appeared on their team that could have ripped them all to shreds at any moment.
Everybody was pretty accepting of him. Like, I would have kind of been a little standoffish.
They didn't quarantine him for potential diseases.
It's fine.
Nothing.
Like, if you can play basketball, you can get away with anything, I think. And I think that's what this movie is really telling us.
Yeah, if he was bad at basketball, none of this would have happened. If he had been worse, they'd be like, get out of here, Wolf.
Go join the chess team.
And the chess team's like, even we don't accept you. Get out of here. You wolf. You mangy dog.
Everybody, just fine with a wolf. That's one thing where the TV show Grimm had a really good reality in their world. Did you see any of Grimm filmed in Portland, Oregon? The idea was that all these creatures exist. There's a world filled of mythological creatures, but it's like a just under the surface, almost co-reality. So only other creatures could see that someone was a werewolf or that someone was a witch or whatever, except for this one humans, the Grimms, who were kind of, you know, the sheriffs of the mythological world. They could see if someone was a werewolf or a creature or whatever. So that kind of thing would have made this movie a lot more believable if only certain people could see that he was a werewolf and everyone else just thought he got real good at basketball.
I agree. Something to rein this in. I do circle back to the real victim of this movie, though, is Mick, who now, by the way, after making out with Boof, Scott now hooks up with Mick's girlfriend, and I'm still supposed to think he's the bad guy.
Jack, just because you got in shape and all ripped doesn't mean that Jock is the good guy.
I identify with the good-looking fella.
Well, I mean, in Mick's defense, too, his girlfriend is telling Teen Wolf, like, no, I still have a boyfriend. Like, she never says, like, oh, yeah, take me, Teen Wolf.
I mean, yeah, it was
honest.
But
look at my boobs in the dressing room.
Right. Which, to be fair, if I was in high school. But I digress. I don't see any chemistry between any of them here. But it is what it is. We move on.
And Mick looked 35, by the way. As most 80s movies, they're usually played by guys. I looked him up. He was 28 at the time.
Wow. Yeah. He was 28.
He had almost as much arm hair as Teen Wolf did.
Yeah. How old was Michael J. Fox?
I think he was only like 22 or something. So he was like close.
Oh my God.
Michael J. Fox is like short though. So he can pull it off. He still looks very childish. He looks childish today, which made him look old in the movie in retrospect because he hasn't changed much.
He's got great 80s hair too.
Yeah, so very nice feathering at the bottom, I noticed particularly.
He made fun of his haircut too. He's like, I've got like a cheap haircut. I've got problems already. He's like, your hair is amazing.
Yeah, I got this $8 haircut.
Damn, I need an $8 haircut. Look at that.
In the 80s, $8 is a lot for a haircut.
Yeah, I would think. Actually.
Again, it's the privileged son of the hardware store.
Boiled. Yeah, incredible.
Mythological powers, great hair. But Pamela's boyfriend watches Scott bowl with Pamela before she says she's just hitting it and quitting it. And now he's off on his own. So he goes and surfs on Styles' new truck and his dad sees him. So his dad tells him that he needs to learn to control the wolf within. Scott asks Boof to the ball and she says only if he won't go as the wolf. But he says, nah, I'm going to go as a one-man wolf pack. She dances with him anyways. We get a werewolf dance party.
Oh my God.
Scott and Boof make out, and Pamela's boyfriend calls him a freak, so he freaks out, and everyone sees his dark side. Dax, in movies, the main character is supposed to have some kind of hardship to overcome here, right?
Really?
It feels like in this movie,
I'm thinking of every movie I've ever seen, and you might be right.
It feels like nothing goes against Teen Wolf. Like he's like, oh, Pamela, I want to hook up with you. Okay. Hey, Boof, you want to go to the dance? only if you do this one thing. Nah, I'm being myself. Okay, whatever.
We can't drive there together, but we can still hang out the whole time there.
Like, it all just goes his way, the whole movie.
Yeah, I mean, he walks in and they literally, he parts the seas. You know, everybody moves out of his way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're doing the werewolf.
Jack, I got a question for you. So last year, last season, we had Aaron Ross on for Can't Buy Me Love. Yes. And they do the African anteater dance on that movie. Which dance do you prefer, the wolf dance or the African anteater dance?
Oh, that is a great question. I'm going to go with the African anteater dance because I felt like there was more moves to it and they committed to it a little bit more and they did it a little bit longer.
This is a show-stopping number. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a set piece where this one, the werewolf, you only got a little bit of to understand it was a werewolf dance.
Your answer is correct, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I studied. So Dax, I love that they make this little story about how the dad had to confront I can't remember the guy's name, the vice principal though, when he was younger and he made him pee himself. And then he later confronts the principal again and makes him pee himself. It's a little mini story, but I don't really understand why it's there.
I thought that presented maybe a great chance for maybe the father to write the situation or for them to work it out and maybe have a grown-up resolution to this decades-long conflict. I thought maybe there was some grown-up way that could end, but it was still just, you know, grrr.
I don't know why. How is he that scared of the dad, yet still bullying the son, knowing who the dad is? Like,
Everyone knows the younger ones are more dangerous.
And he doesn't know his powers yet. He doesn't know how to control himself.
Yeah, clearly he loses control. So you would think he would call in, you know, I don't know, the experts.
Mm-hmm. I got a big question for you, Andy. The boyfriend, while they were bullying, first off, it's weird. Mick is like watching Teen Wolf bull with his girlfriend while he's like four lanes over by himself. which
it's
is
a very small, very small town.
In a very small bowling alley that was like awkwardly confined. But the boyfriend, Mick, says his dad murdered Scott's mom, and they never really circle back on that. They never really, Teen Wolf is just like, oh, rats, and then walks away.
Yeah, there's not much mention of the mom, huh? But apparently she was murdered and no one cares.
Cutting room floor kind of stuff. Like, what was the story there? Yeah.
I think that's something you develop if you're going to put it into the movie in any way, shape, or form. Not just, murdered my mom? Oh, well.
What does Mick say, though? I wrote this down. He says something like, he's talking to his girlfriend, wants to dance with him at the dance, and he says, not unless you plan on having his puppies. And he like kind of smiles to himself. I'm like, it wasn't really that great.
Andy, Mick was taking a lot of L's that time of his life.
Well, let's talk about
him that thing. Yeah,
let's talk about his W then, because when they start fighting, the only thing, like, Michael J. Fox could rip his head off, I think, because he's like a Teen Wolf guy, and instead he rips his shirt, which shows Mick, who definitely has been working out, and he's like, oh no, don't look at me. Don't look at my ripped shirt, my ripped body. Stupid Teen Wolf. Please don't rip my pants off.
He's like pouring oil on his chest. Don't look at me.
All the lights were placed perfectly to just glint off the disco ball.
Yeah. But look, I mean, in a way, Mick was right. This dude was sleeping with his girlfriend, also trying to hook up with Boof at the same time. He's being a jerk to the guys on the basketball thing. Mick was right. Teen Wolf was kind of a jerk.
Yeah, yeah, he was. He was not handling any of it well. That doesn't make Mick a good person, Jack. I'm sorry to have to keep telling you this.
Hashtag justice for Mick.
You like Biff, too?
Biff was misunderstood and was dealt a bad hand.
You just have such a big heart, Jack. It's impossible.
But that, yeah, I think Jack just hates Michael J. Fox.
The entire relationship, as Dax, as you alluded to at the beginning, I don't get any of this stuff. But as we round home here, the basketball team is struggling without the Wolf on the team, and the crowd goes silent when Scott shows up, but not the Wolf. They
incredibly
work
incredibly silent.
Yeah, it was awkwardly silent.
Like as the coach walks all the way across the gym.
It's like an
straight minute long of just dead silence and footsteps. I was actually impressed by the restraint of the filmmakers in that point. Just like, wow, we're sitting in the silence here. I admire that.
I love the coach too. Like, you better turn into the Wolf or we're going to get creamed. Just so you know, this is a waste of time. God.
Yep, good to see you, Scott.
But hey, they work as a team, they keep it close, and it comes down to a free throw. Scott makes it, and everyone celebrates. Boof and Scott make out as we get a sports movie photo finish. Dax, it all comes down to this question: what was this movie about?
Wow, it was about 10 minutes too short. There were some scenes that needed to be filled in. There were some ideas that needed to be fleshed out. But in the end, it was an allegory for what if you had a second puberty after your first puberty? How would you combine those two puberties, the moodiness plus the super strength and the incredible hair growth? 'Cause with your first puberty, you fell in love with one woman. Now, second puberty, you fall in love with two women at the same time. So it's about the curse of having too much of a good thing.
That's as good of an answer as I think we're going to get, because it ended looking like a sports movie. The freeze frame, everyone holding them up after making the game-winning shot. And I was like, was this a basketball movie?
Can we talk about the basketball point?
He didn't learn anything about himself either, by the way. He didn't like realize, oh, Boof is actually the one for me. It's been right in front of me this whole time. Or like he was still kind of eyeballing Pamela and he's like, Boof's still here though. Yeah. The fact that he was a werewolf was almost inconsequential to what the end of the movie turned out to be. I don't really get what this movie was really about.
I just want to talk about the basketball sequences. Like Dax said, this movie was 10 minutes too short. Well, they probably could have taken some time off of this basketball scene at the end.
I'll be honest. I hit the skip button through some of the basketball scenes.
As you
I watched
should.
Like the last half hour on my phone and I'm like, boing, boing, boing.
Well, nothing
same
happened.
Song was playing.
Terrible song.
Montage. The songs were awful.
Terrible
like,
song.
We will win in the end.
And Dax just said it's a montage. A montage usually like, we'll just use basketball as an example. You see a couple three-pointers and then all of a sudden the score's like, if it was the NBA, you know, 75-80, and then like another thing happens, then are already in the hundreds, right? This movie, like 20 minutes passed and it was still like 16-30, like, and then it was like another 20 minutes and it's like 32-18. I'm like, in that whole time they only scored two baskets total. It was just the longest basketball scene and probably this terrible play. Like, I don't know, is this ridiculous?
Yeah, they're 20 something year olds playing like junior high kids with extra Vaseline applied to their foreheads. One of the things that made it harder for me is the last movie I watched before this was Hustle, the Adam Sandler basketball movie, which has some of the best basketball cinematography I've ever seen. Like it was really
one of the best montages too, the training montage.
Yeah, the training montage, the whole thing. It was
That's
a real
funny.
Slap in the face for me. It was a real claw scrape across the eyeballs to have to deal with this.
That's so funny. That's like that's like the perfect movie.
Yeah.
So the music in this movie was so bad. I looked up the lyrics just now of this I Will Win in the End.
Oh,
song.
Thank God. Thank you.
I know you guys did it. Like, listen to these lyrics. This is this guy wrote this in one sitting. I am equal to the task. I won't hide behind the mask. What you see is what you'll get from me. I'm stronger than they think. They can force me to the brink, but now I know I'll win. That's the corniest stuff I've ever read in my life. This is and genius it's all in the '80s.
I'm telling like, you, standards were very low.
I will steal the thunder, like rolling out from Stevie under. Wonder.
I will steal. Ooh, the
that's
thunder.
Pretty good.
Like,
I mean, you rhyme thunder.
Like a true defender, I will not surrender.
All right. So this song's awesome.
This is like, these are the most basic. Got to keep my cool. I'm not the fool. This is like of the course. Most basic rhyming you could ever come up this with is, in your life.
It's a seventh grader coming up with a hip hop song, I think.
I was blinded by the rain. I was blinded by the pain running through the rain.
I think this song was meant to have been written and performed by Styles specifically.
I think Styles could have pulled it off, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, but, he would have had enough tongue in cheek, like, I'm just in this for the money to actually sing a song that cheesy. Yeah, you're right. They should have given it to him.
So, Andy, my last question before we do final thoughts is, have you ever straddled your dad the way he carried Scott at the end of the game?
Yeah, usually. Usually that's how we say hello. That was real weird. But it might be a wolf thing. I don't know. I'm not going to pass judgment.
Jump into my arms, little monkey wolf. And he did.
And I was like, oh, well, he's a kid. I was like, wait a minute. No, he's like in high school. He's driving. So he's like at least 16. Yeah. And I cannot imagine ever jumping on my dad like that when I was 16.
And what dad could handle it on top of it?
No one can handle this guy. But final thoughts here, Dax, of course, you get the last words. I was shocked at what I got with this movie. I thought I was going to get a Breakfast Club meets Halloween kind of movie that was a coming of age tale. And boy, howdy, did I not get that today or when I watched this. So, a little disappointed in this one. You know, I feel like this could have been one of those, oh, I never saw it. I need to get around to that I could have kept that way for the rest of my life. But Andy, what about you?
Well, I think the best thing that happened to this movie is they made a sequel, because then everyone's like, oh, Teen Wolf 2 sucks. Original is way better than the sequel. So I think that's kind of, it's helped Teen Wolf to kind of be like, well, at least it wasn't as bad as the sequel, which I don't think I've ever seen. But it was fun to go back. It's very 80s. And just to show how you can have a kick-ass year and then also have actually, this movie made quite a bit of money, though. So I wouldn't say it was a dud. But it's just funny that Michael J. Fox did Back to the Future in this. At least they came out in the same year.
Dax, final thoughts on this one.
Oh, boy. you know, I honestly remembered it being better. And I was disappointed at just how terrible it was. But that's just the power of a bankable star like Michael J. Fox. You can put him in anything and you're going to get some enjoyment out of it. Even when he's covered in the makeup. And a part of me wondered how much, when he was in makeup, how much of the basketball scenes was him. Did he get good at basketball? Was he good at basketball? Was that someone else? Was that just a stunt basketball player?
Had to be.
I still have questions that I don't think anyone has addressed yet. So this has inspired me to dig deeper into the lore. You know, I kind of want to find out about the TV show. I want to see what they're going to do with this intellectual property. Where's it going next? You know, he really started something. He lit a fire. And I'm excited to see where it goes, guys.
That is true that it's crazy that this movie that we just saw launched a sequel and a TV series that has done well.
Yeah, it was.
I think it's the name Teen Wolf. It's such a funny name.
It packs a lot, tells you what it's all about, tells you where the conflict is at, tells you it's sexy, but not too sexy. Not jumping on your dad, straddling him sexy.
Definitely not too sexy. if there's one thing it's not, it's too sexy. But so this is a new thing. Now, by the way, Dax, you did Kroll last season, Teen Wolf this season. At this rate, next season, you'll be reviewing Geely with us.
If we can pick a good movie for me anytime now, that would be terrific.
Never.
So this is a new segment we have. It's three questions. I'm going to ask you a question. Andy's going to ask you a question. Then we always end with the third question, same time every time. My question, though, is if all the classic Halloween characters got into a giant royal rumble, the vampires, the werewolves, the mummy, all that good stuff, who Raggedy wins the Royal Rumble?
Yeah. Who wins the Royal Rumble amongst the entire Universal Dark Universe is what you're asking? Yeah. Wow. Who wins that Royal? I think a lot of movies, especially recently, have tried to address this, and I'm going to go werewolf every time. You know, I'm going to say people want to think the vampires are all that, but I don't think they are. I think the vampires are just a bunch of mopey, self-hating. You know, werewolves can exist all day, every day, everywhere. They have a family pack mentality. They have instinct, but they also have intellect.
And they're great bowlers.
Yeah, they're great bowlers. 7-10 split, nail it every time.
No problem.
Yeah, well, no one else can do that. No vampires pulling that off, especially no mummy.
And look, I get that vampires are strong, but werewolves just got that dog in them.
Yeah, Andy, I can bite the vampire's head off.
Andy, what's your question?
So Michael J. Fox, as we talked about, came out with Back to the Future in the same year. So let's say, Dax, you had a time machine and you're able to go back in high school as Dax Jordan and do it all over again. Would you do it as Teen Wolf, Styles, or Boof? And why?
Wow. Who, if I could do it over as any of them? I think Styles had more fun than anybody. I think he learned the least because he didn't have to.
<That's true.
There was no character arc, no development for him. He made tons of cash selling the merch. He's opportunistic. He's fun. Styles is the guy I wanted to be in high school.
Correct. Well, that might actually spoil our final question, but the final question is always outside of the main character, so not counting Michael J. Fox. Who was the MVP of Teen Wolf? Favorite character, best character in the movie?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess that does spoil it. I don't think anybody else really.
What about the dad? Dad Wolf.
The dad. Again, I'm a big fan of that coach. The drama teacher, that's sneaky, hidden one.
Who's your MVP, Jack?
Nick.
I think it's obvious who you want to go
true,
with.
Yeah,
3 minutes in heaven in the closet.
I'm going to need more than 3 minutes.
With abs like that.
So who do you pick, Dax?
I'm going with Styles again. And yeah, Styles. Let's get the party going, man. Let's get that beer.
Styles, the MVP, Dax.
And
he was running
the party, like he's just, yeah, everyone can turn to him for anything. He's going to grow up a little in college and really help a lot of people, I think.
I would have watched that scene for longer than it was the him just getting the party going and picking names and seeing, should be called this like Styles. Maybe, you know what he should have is like a wheel that you spin and then you find out what you're doing. And then Styles is like, hey, looks like you're doing the closet game. He's just great.
He's got
great
that wheel
fun.
In his head though. That's how good he is.
He does.
I'm Very telling impressive. You, we could get rid of the Teen Wolf and just do a TV series of Styles going to school with these other teachers around and him mm-hmm. dealing with, anyways,
it's called Ferris Bueller.
That's a good movie. That's a really good movie. We should review it sometime with a different guest because you don't get the good movies, Dax.
Teen Wolf 2 next year.
But speaking of next movies, next for the next episode, we're going to 1986 to chat all about Labyrinth. Then we're going to 1987 to talk about Over the Top. Cool. And then 1988 for They Live. So very excited to
nice lineup.
Get
very
into
good.
That line. Yeah, they're going to be fun.
80s movies are, man.
They're a different animal altogether. Yeah. A werewolf type animal, if you ask me. But my name is Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Andy, where can the world find you and all the stuff you're working on?
You can find me at Just Andy Rossi.
And Dax, where can people find you and all the cool stuff you've got working on?
At Just Andy Rossi.
Yeah, thanks.
Or Dax Jordan, whichever. I should have committed to the bit. I'm sorry.
Jax Jordan.
Yeah. But you did want to get your name out there for our literal tens of listeners to
listen. I've heard from many sources that my crawl episode was amongst a favorite among your audience. So
right.
I just want to reach out to them and say, hey, reach out to me.
Well, Andy and I both liked it, and that's half. So you're almost That does it for us. Until next time, everybody. We'll see you next year.